The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. If you have listened to this program for any length of time at all, you know I love the biblical principle of marriage, and I love anybody who is fighting to maintain that biblical principle, to help marriages, encourage marriages, and that certainly is true of my guest, Chip Ingram, author, internationally known speaker, pastor for over 30 years, and the author of a brand new book, Marriage That Works. Chip, it is great to have you on the program again.
Thanks so much, Bob. Good to be with you.
It has been a long, long time. Too long. But I am grateful that you've got time for us today.
Well, I am always glad to. Just actually came from the Billy Graham Center conference. And my wife and I do a couple times a year, we meet with military couples. One for those that are in active service, and another one for those that have been wounded, either physically And we do marriage conferences, and wow, whatever issues anyone has, I will tell you, our military is not only bigger challenges than you can imagine, but paying a high price in their marriage as well as other areas. So,
well, thank you.
Really thrilled to get to be there, and good to be with you today.
Thank you for that, Chip. Thank you. Well, my first question, and I seriously hope you do not take this wrong, but there are hundreds and hundreds of books out there on marriage. Some of them really good, some of them not so good. And by the way, yours is one of the best that I have read, Marriage That Works by Chip Ingram. What prompted you to write another book on marriage when there are already so many out there?
You know, you sound like me when I was talking to the publisher and I said, you know, There's whole ministries. I mean, family life, focus on the family. As I say in the beginning of the book, I'm not a psychologist. I'm a pastor. I think the thing that pushed me over the edge was in the rapid change in our culture and the influence happening in the church. I think there's not a lot of just pretty basic teaching in terms of, well, what's the role of a man, the role of a woman, what's the covenant? In other words, what's a biblical perspective? And certainly respect different views on lots of variety of things. But I think the other is that what's a man to be and what's a man to do, very simply? Mm-hmm. What's a woman to be and what's a woman to do? And then how do you actually do that? I hear so often, we do about an hour or so Q&A, and so many of the questions were, how do I become the spiritual leader of my family? What's it mean to be the spiritual leader of my family? How can I get my husband to lead in areas? And so what I wanted to do, because I had to do a lot of research on this because I didn't know any of those answers, I wrote a book that goes through Ephesians chapter 5 and says, this is when God looks at a husband, this is what you're to be. You're to be as Christ is to the church, you are to your wife. And to the wife. And so then, how do you lead spiritually? How do you lead in your finances? How do you lead with your children? How do you protect? And then gave really, really specific outlines and ways to help both men and women actually do it, not just hear what they ought to do.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I was so impressed with your book. You don't know this, but my wife and I do marriage conferences as well. And one of the conferences we do is built completely on Ephesians chapter 5, which has fallen out of favor, Chip. I've been to many marriage conferences, read many marriage books, and Ephesians 5 is one of the foundations of the marital relationship in Scripture. But as I said, it's kind of fallen out of favor. it's not politically correct to deal with the roles of the men and women, the husband and the wife. And you do it in a very practical, straightforward, and extremely biblical way, and I commend you for that.
Well, thank you very much.
You deal with the evolution of the American man in Chapter 3. Chapter 5, the evolution of the American woman. What do you mean by that, the evolution of the American man and the evolution of the American woman?
Well, I wanted to go back historically because I think if you were born, let's say, 20 or 25 years ago and you grew up in a digital age, you assume that the role of women, the role of men, and where the issues are and what people are talking about, that must be the way it is. And the fact of the matter is that for thousands of years, and both biblically and even just in the last several decades, it has evolved so rapidly. And so one of the fun ways I do that when I teach it, I have, you know, some great PowerPoint slides, and we'll start with, you know, like Father Knows Best, and, you know, we'll move from that to Dick Van Dyke, to the Brady Bunch, to Friends, and just helping people see to Modern Family that this whole shift that occurred, you know, a little before the 60s and then out of the 60s, and then when truth became relative, all the shift of the family completely changed. And so the average guy is wondering, what's it mean to be a man? And what is the role of being a man? What are the activities and how do you do it? And so when you look at what happened in the 60s and the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, everything from the impact of Vietnam to free love, free sex, to no-fault divorce, to just the complete shift, the greed of the 80s, the pluralism of the 90s, it's become 40% of Americans today say marriage is passé. 80% of Europeans say marriage is completely unimportant and don't get married. And yet, I think it's about 65% of people live together now before they get married, Christian or non-Christian.
Yeah.
And the longitudinal study is only 1 out of 10, whether they eventually marry or not, only 1 out of 10 will stay together. So what I saw was this crisis of, at the end of the day, what works? That's the title. In other words, you know, a woman wants to be protected and cherished and loved. A man wants to be respected and honored. And there's some pretty basic ways that make a marriage work, and there's a lot of ways that don't. And we're seeing a lot of the ways that don't sort of have the headlines right now.
Well, and one of the things I appreciate about your book, Chip, we're talking with Chip Ingram, brand new book, Marriage That Works. Marriage That Works. One of the things I really appreciate is your transparency, Chip. I've read a lot of books on marriage by a couple that basically say if you do everything that we did, then you will have a perfect marriage like we have. You're very honest about the beginnings of your marriage, the rocky start to your marriage, and I love the phrase where you admit that your wife prays that God would get under your skin. I love that.
He really needed to. I mean, my father came out of the war very damaged. They didn't have PTSD or knew about those things, and so he gradually became functioning, but an alcoholic. My wife's wife, father, the same.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we really struggled. We both had come to Christ as adults. We both loved God very much, but marriage counseling was critical. We didn't know how to resolve conflict. We didn't know how to communicate. And I look back now and realize, as hard as all that was, it gave us. I mean, we have read so many books together and been to conferences and really, really struggled. And it's almost, sometimes I look back and I think, as dysfunctional as we were and as little as we knew, it was when we really got a clear picture of this is our God created marriage and it's sacred and he wants us to have intimacy emotionally and spiritually and physically and at the soul level. And he's given us a real design and a pathway to get there. And I've got 41 years under my belt, and it's richer, and I mean this, richer and deeper and better than ever. But it was really challenging, and you know, it wasn't like we had a couple little problems for 3 or 4 years, and then everything was smooth. I mean, we had this super work, and then we do real well, and then we hit another bump, and you know, another one, and another bump, and had to just realize it's an ongoing journey. It needs to be, apart from your relationship with Jesus, the most important relationship that you keep working on.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thought there's no use. Only people who are not honest, I can tell people, you've been married 5 years or 35 yeah. years, you're going to have problems with in-laws, your finances, your sex life, communication, money, you know, welcome to life. Those are issues, but people have them and then they think they're insurmountable, when in reality they're very normal. And God wants yeah. to use those to really build a strong, intimate marriage. But you have to learn to communicate, and there has to be some rules that you play fair around. And so that's what the book's about. I hope it'll be helpful for people.
We're talking with Chip Ingram, the author of a brand new book, Marriage That Works. You can obviously get it at Amazon. It is from Baker Books. And we need to take a quick break, and then we'll continue briefly with Chip Ingram. Again, the book, Marriage That Works, by Chip Ingram. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live, and welcome back, Chip Ingram, author of a brand new book, Marriage That Works. And Chip, just pure FYI, my wife and I just celebrated number 50 just a few weeks ago.
Wow.
And I realized God has allowed us to accomplish what 95% of all couples in America never do. 95% of couples never make it 50 for whatever reason. Sometimes it's death or whatever. And I'm going to start working on a book, Making It to 50. But
I love it.
Anyway, again, I appreciate your honesty. And just before the break, you said, you know, there are going to be hard times. And I don't care who it is. Would you agree, Chip, all marriages go through difficult times?
Absolutely. And I think it's how you then think about, rather than, it's interesting, marriage that, you know, another, when I say it works, it's not just that you stay together. I think there's three things that God designs, and one is that you become spiritual soulmates. There's a connection with God and with each other at that level that's hard to explain. Second, you become best friends, and third, you become passionate lovers. And the passionate area of your life doesn't have to end on the honeymoon or a few years in. But if you don't take care of the other areas, like being best friends and having a spiritual connection, then the challenges come. Some of those things are what, you know, you fill one another's emotional tank, and you learn to love your mate in a way that makes sense to them. And you start asking, not what can I get, or why isn't she more like this, or why won't he stop doing that? And when you can supernaturally, by God's power, say, how do I serve my mate? How do I love her? How do I build him up? And you have to choose to do it when you may not necessarily get a lot of great stuff back initially. But when you do that, it is amazing what God does. But what I think what's happening in our day is, as soon as you hit some of these very normal, predictable things, well, I think I've fallen out of love. He must not be the right person, or this will never work because we argue all the time over finances, over the kids, over this. And challengingly, if you look at, you know, what happens in the second marriage or the next relationship, it doesn't get better, because the person you keep taking to the next relationship is you. And until you solve your issues, there's no hope for the future.
Well, in your chapter on how to make it through hard times, you talk about your first big fight after you got married. You say, I didn't know how to resolve anger at the time. I was caught completely off guard. I found myself slamming the door, getting in my car, driving around for 2 hours, and actually telling God that I may have made the biggest mistake of my life. Chip Ingram, you're normal.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that hasn't had that experience.
I know. I've done that a few times myself. And that's, again, why I think it's so important that couples understand there will be difficult times, but if you build your marriage on biblical principles and a God kind of love, you can make it through. You can get through those difficult times.
It is a lot of work, and it's really worth it. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that was core at that moment was some people see marriage as a contract. I'm going to stay in this as long as I'm happy, satisfied, and fulfilled. And I think that's a modern view, and it's a modern view that has infiltrated the church. Well, I'm just not happy. God wants me to be happy,
so
I break my marriage vow. By contrast, a covenant is a holy and sacred agreement. It's a guarantee one person makes with another that is super serious. And when you see it as a covenant, and there is no way out, there's a few rare exceptions where people can do some things with regard to immoral behavior or some things that are rare that can break that covenant. But for most of us in our normal married life, when you get to, you know what, I don't like my marriage, I don't like this person, this isn't working, but there is no way out, then that's when you say, okay, I can't change them, but okay, God, whatever you want to do in me to change this marriage, I got to start with me. And when couples come to that point, then radical, amazing changes occur. Because if it's the when then, well, if he becomes more sensitive, if he begins to take a more active role, well, if she becomes more romantic, if she won't be so sexually cold, and pretty soon they pit these things against one another. And it's often around some of the most basic, normal things that need to be solved in a marriage, but you never get to learn to solve them. One of the counterintuitive things is God actually uses the challenges in our relationship and the conflict to draw us closer. It's going through those things that create the kind of intimacy that you really look at and long for.
That is so true. My guest, Chip Ingram, the book Marriage That Works. Marriage That Works. It's a Baker book. You can get it at Amazon.com. Chip, in 30 seconds, and that's about all we have left, what is the take home that you want couples to take home from this book when they close the cover? What do you want them to take home?
I want them to take home that marriage is more than your happiness, that God made it to reveal himself and to be a testimony of his power, and that every man needs to understand, this is who I need to be, this is what I need to do, and every woman needs to understand, this is who I need to be and who I need to do. And when I do that, by his power, the richest, best, deepest needs of your life will be satisfied in ways beyond your greatest imagination.
My guest, Chip Ingram, the book, Marriage That Works. Get it. It's excellent. Chip, thank you so much for taking time for us, and thank you for this excellent book.
Thank you so much, Bob. And to all my Buckeye fans, see you guys there in Columbus. It was great to be on. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, we'll be back.